Do you think that's why it's named the NSA? Because they know I'm saying, and like right in between there, the letters N, S, and A are together at some point.
Are you saying NSA stands for Nam Saiyan?
Yeah. Yeah, because in the middle of that word, NSA is in there somewhere. And that's what they do, right? They know what you're saying.
Yeah, you're right, man. That's it.
I'm pretty sure like the way that the phrase is used now is the wrong way.
I mean, there are a lot of words that have NSA in it, though. Chainsaw.
Oh, whoa, good pull. Those are all in a row, too.
You think the NSA is named after chainsaw, the word?
No, I'm just saying, like, the letters NSA are in a row in many, many words. Insane.
Why are you picking things that are all negative?
You are really good at this game.
Mike, weren't you like a master's in English?
Wait. Hang on. Polyunsaturated?
Whoa.
Oh, shit. You know what's nuts is he could have done unsaturated, but he went ahead and done polyunsaturated because it had more letters.
It's so many more. Yeah. Poly.
That was a good joke.
Transatlantic?
Okay, man. All right. Dude. You're obviously skilled at this, right?
Rain Man.
Arrange Man, Mike.
You're listening to Instead Of, a hypothetical podcast with Tap and Johnny, Mike Bogart, and me, Josh Harrison.
You know, as both of you are aware, I've traveled a long way to be here to record this podcast today.
And we appreciate it.
Yeah.
I came all the way from Victoria, British Columbia via something called the Victoria Clipper back to Seattle so we could record. And, you know, you guys leave me alone.
The old VC.
So listen to this. As we were getting off of the VC in Seattle, I really needed to use the bathroom, but it turns out, and so did a lot of people who went to the VC. And I thought, you know, what can I do? Where can I go? And Mike, I went to my old fallback whenever I'm in a city. Do you remember what that is?
Is it peeing in a hotel?
That is correct.
Oh, knew it.
And guess what? This time I had a bag of roller luggage with me. So, like, it looks like I actually should be in the hotel. It's not even just me alone in my, like, regular clothes. I figured it out. So, like, it's not a solution to, like, actual homeless problems, but, like, if the word somehow gets out on the street, all you need to really fake it inside a hotel is a roller bag. So, if you got to make one investment, do that, and then you'll have access to, like, a clean bathroom.
You don't even need a roller bag. You could like get a duffel bag.
Yeah, you played the part.
A duffel bag? That's way more suspicious than walking in without anything. People who walk into places with duffel bags are almost always there to conduct a heist.
Okay, so you're thinking of like a black vinyl duffel bag. I have a duffel bag that I use for travel.
A travel duffel.
That like matches my suitcase. Yeah.
So you have a suitcase too, though.
I do, but the duffel bag was cheaper, so if you're looking for minimal investment, the duffel is the way to go.
Anyway, hang on. I didn't even finish the original story. So instead of going to the bathroom on the Clipper, I opted for the bathroom on the hotel. So what I was wondering is, for you two, where is the strangest place that you've had to use the facilities?
Oh,
good question.
Well, this brings up something for me that I actually also wrote down, which was... back in the year, perhaps 1998 or 1999, pre-Y2K, I went on Mike's summer bathroom tour.
What is that?
Well,
was it a different Mike?
No, it was me. good question. I was like really into public restrooms for a while. Like as a hobby?
As a hobby?
Yeah, like...
What are you, George Costanza? What is this?
I might have gotten it from Seinfeld, actually. Like, now that I think about it, because it's a weird thing.
You were watching Seinfeld when you were, like, 8 and 9 years old?
It's a weird thing for, like, a 10-year-old to do. But...
Oh, my God.
I, for a whole summer, I would, everywhere I would go in public, I would use the restroom, and then I would rate it on like a sliding scale that I had created.
What was the scale?
Well, it had to do a lot with like, first of all, cleanliness, obviously.
So were there multiple scales, or did you just combine everything into one score?
Honestly, I said sliding scale, but I don't know what that means exactly. It's sliding because like I slide people up and down it. That's definitely not what it means.
No, it's, oh, dude.
It would be like, okay, cleanliness is one. And then like amenities. Do you remember when those crazy blow dryers first started showing up? The ones that like move the veins in your hands?
The Dyson ones? That like you dip your hands in and out?
They like move the veins around. Yeah, yeah. Well, those, yeah. Or just like those really hard ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was a big plus back in like 99 if you had one of those. That was so...
You scored it well if it was like the weird, annoying things?
But it got your hands so dry. But also, like, there was definitely an ambiance factor. There was... you don't have to pee into a trough kind of thing.
Yeah. So pre-Y2K, you have a quest that you need to figure out the best public restroom. So you've had a lot of time to analyze these results. Can you give us a best in class?
So, yes, I definitely can.
Okay.
I resurrected this project as an adult man. First of all, my parents made me a Mike's Summer Bathroom Tour t-shirt.
Oh my God. I have known you too many years that this is just such a revelation.
You never knew about my bathroom tour?
You have never mentioned it.
I guess that's not a thing to share, really.
What? But you have a t-shirt that commemorates your journey?
Yeah. I mean, it was important to me at the time.
You told people about it. Wow.
So I went to grad school for creative writing.
A guy who has this idea is just like, so when I got my master's.
Yeah, I did get my master's eventually. In
Was your grade. Thesis about public bathrooms?
My first assignment ever was.
Oh my God.
I took a freelance writing class, and my like final project was surveying every hotel bathroom in the city of Chicago.
Wow.
So that I can report back on which ones are the best ones to pee in when you have no time and nowhere to go.
Now, I've gone from shocked to outright upset because you are well aware that this is an experiment I was also conducting in Chicago at the time you would have been in grad school, and I think you stole my idea, and I am finding out about it years later.
Did I not consult you on this?
You published a work of my work with your name on it.
No,
you're
okay.
Not a master. Okay. I'm okay. The master.
No one bought this story. Let me be clear. No one bought this story from me.
Oh, well, how surprising.
No one wanted the bathroom tour story. Yeah. I did try to sell it.
Unbelievable.
I think it's, these places don't want a bunch of strangers just walking in, peeing, and leaving.
Anyway, what did you find? What's the result?
The Peninsula Hotel, downtown Chicago.
Oh, that is a nice one.
My God. Wow.
I know. It's surreal.
It's ridiculous.
I got to say, though, like that time that we walked into the Drake and like went back to like the convention area, ballroom area.
Oh, yeah.
Those bathrooms were nice.
Yeah, we spent some time.
I had like a little private bathroom in the Drake. It was so nice.
Have you ever wanted to walk into a bathroom and like other people are pooping in there and just go, oh, it smells like shit in here?
That is my worst nightmare.
God, you know, I didn't realize that you were contemplating the thought, what is like the worst thing that you could say in the podcast right now? And then you actually said it.
You guys don't worry about that?
So lowbrow.
What was your original question?
It was, what is the most interesting place you've ever gone. And I actually have one. So I in high school, I'm going to give the punchline first. I peed on camera.
God damn it. I keep telling you, punchlines go at the end. The end.
No, because I think that this is more powerful if I open it that way.
It's not. It is not more powerful.
I'm into this.
So I made dumb videos with like my friends in high school, like most people probably did. And
No, we never did, Mike. We never made any videos like that.
That doesn't sound like us.
Didn't we talk about it on this podcast already?
No, we never recreated Jeopardy in the front lawn of Mike's house when it was nothing but snow outside at like 11:30 p.m. We never did that.
We made some video where, like, I was a lumberjack for some reason. I don't remember. And I was supposed to be peeing, and I was away from the camera. I was aimed away. There was nothing on display. But you could see the stream, and I had, I swear to God.
What stream?
The pee stream, Tappan.
So you only had one take to do this? You didn't, like, have, like, a bottle of fake pee? You used real pee?
You were peeing?
Yeah.
Oh, no, dude.
I actually peed, and to this day, that is the most powerful my stream has ever been. It arced so high.
Dude, I don't want to hear this. Oh, man.
It arced so high.
We are developing a reputation for being classless.
I don't care.
No, dude.
This is a thing I did, and I'm proud of it. I'm proud of how high I arced it. That must have gotten up to 7 feet. I swear to God.
Dude, have you enrolled your bladder in Juilliard?
I don't understand. Did the scene require you to pee straight up in the air? Why weren't you aiming down?
I don't
did
know.
Did you forget you were being filmed? You just decided, oh my God, it's happening. You know, everything else be damned. I have to try it.
Yeah, I mean,
acting.
I didn't want to like aim straight down. Could have got my feet wet.
Oh boy!
Wow!
Boy howdy, Mike. You give me something better, man. Give me something that isn't like that.
For like the weirdest place or just most interesting place I paid.
No more talk about this. Just like what another subject, please, to transition us in.
Okay, I got a different subject. So I was just.
Oh God, not you.
So I was in Vegas recently.
Oh God.
And that is a city of excess unlike anything I've ever seen before. It was my first time in the city. And I really liked that thing that we did a couple episodes ago, where Mike told us about the book that he was reading.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And he changed one detail. So I'm going to tell you about something extravagant, and you tell me which detail is incorrect.
Ooh.
This is fun.
Love it.
Yeah.
Now, this sets up like an SNL skit, because you've posed a basically PG scenario, but what you could do is the old switcheroo, where what you're going to describe is going to be horribly hedonistic and just dirty and filthy.
It's not. It's PG. It's even G, you might say. So, in a secret garden created by two Germans.
Mm. Are you recording an audiobook right now? What are you doing?
You can practice tap dancing in front of dolphins. Which of those details do you think is incorrect?
Well, okay, here's what I'm thinking. A garden and dolphins don't go together. So I think you practice tap dancing in a secret garden built by two Germans in front of bears? Or, you know, like it's some kind of land animal. More of a land animal.
More of a land animal?
More of a garden-y animal? Possibly a rabbit?
Dude, do you know how many animals, like, live on land?
Most of them, I think. I'm not
like,
sure.
Like, land is a lot of different things, man.
I think bears, wouldn't you that seems like a good idea.
Is that it?
That's my guess. Yes, bears.
No, but Smove, was that right?
That is incorrect.
Oh,
no.
Fine.
Damn it.
Okay, let's say not two Germans, but three New Zealanders.
Also incorrect. So, at the Mirage Hotel, the Siegfried and Roy Secret Garden allows you to practice yoga in front of dolphins.
Damn it.
So it was the tap dancing?
It was the tap dancing.
For some reason, I thought tap dancing would be just like integral to the Vegas experience. Yoga you can do anywhere. I thought tap dancing.
Yeah, but you can't do it in a secret garden, like in front of a dolphin tank.
That's, yeah. Did they like it? Did you do this?
I did not. It was like one of the activities that we looked up that we could have done.
Damn.
How much did it cost?
It was expensive. I don't remember the exact amount, but I was like, nope.
But like, how much are you willing to pay like for a dolphin satisfaction? What do you get out of it? You're just entertaining a dolphin.
Wait, what do I get out of it? So, yeah, so, okay. I don't know.
I don't know.
Did you know that dressing up in costumes is real big in Vegas, by the way?
Yeah.
Just general cosplay? For no reason?
Yeah. So I didn't, like, again, first time in the city. I didn't know this. We were walking, we were in the car, and we saw somebody that looks like Zach Galifianakis, and it was pointed out, like, oh, he looks like that guy in the Hangover movie. And I'm like, he has like a fake baby attached to his body that is supposed to be Zach Galifianakis. And then like later on I saw like an Elvis impersonator and an old woman dressed as Marilyn Monroe.
It's almost as if you are learning for the very first time that people are capable of dressing up like other people. It's like you just now, like just moments ago, learned about impersonators. And then I saw Marilyn Monroe and Elvis was there, and you wouldn't believe it, but Batman showed up. For some reason, the Joker wasn't with him. I guess I'll tune in next week. So NASCAR, with the pit crews and everything, it's all about speed. It's all about like as quick as you can go. I was watching a video on Reddit earlier this week where an Amish community put up an entire barn in like 10 hours.
Oh, I saw that.
Dude, yeah, I saw that too.
What if you put the Amish in NASCAR?
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine? The teamwork is so inbuilt that, like, it's... And they know everything about everything. Like, this is an opportunity, I think.
They don't know anything about cars, though.
Yeah, they know literally nothing about cars.
That's not true.
Like, I don't even know how to change my oil, and I know more about cars than they do. I know which one is the gas pedal.
You know what?
That is more.
Say what you will, but this is essentially the same premise that I'm saying for a remake of Cool Runnings, okay? It's just a different, like, setup. People didn't believe in them then, and you're not believing in the Amish now, but when this movie comes out and it's remembered for decades, then I will knock on your door and say, I told you so.
Great. I look forward to it.
What is your Amish NASCAR movie called?
That's where I'm stuck.
Right, because it's got to be a play on Cool Runnings.
It doesn't have to. Oh, yeah, I guess it's a remake, right?
I guess it is a remake.
Cool Runnings, Hot Racing.
Can you... What, Amish. Nothing rhymes with Amish.
All right, come on, word boy. Josh, what do you got?
Squamish?
That's just a place in Washington. Probably, I don't know. All those towns are named like that. You got nothing. You got nothing.
Lancaster sounds close to NASCAR.
I don't even know what you're saying. So anyway, instead of that, I'm asking what fish out of water situation could you guys come up with that you think would be equally as entertaining? I guarantee you Mike is about to walk through the entire plot to Crocodile Dundee. I guarantee you that's what
Shut
he's thinking about.
Up.
That's why he's giggling like that, because all he's thinking about is Crocodile Dundee, because I said the phrase fish out of water.
You Shut up. Let me think.
Okay, you know what? Let's forget it. You guys have been thinking for like, I think a minute and a half now. So, like,
how about, wait. How about answer to the previous question? What about Quaker racers?
What?
That doesn't rhyme. It rhymed in my head.
Do you guys remember how big of a deal like your belly button seemed when you were a little kid?
No. I do not. I'm sorry, man.
No, you get, no? Well, okay. I remember thinking like some people got innies, some people got outies, some people.
Are you rhyming? Are you making a song right now?
I wasn't, but maybe. Some people got innies, some people got outies. Like, what? What happened to the outies? Do you guys know anybody, a current adult, with an outie belly button?
I do not. And I never, ever thought.
Where did they go?
I never thought I'd have to answer that.
Didn't this, I remember being like, well, I got an innie, I'm like an innie guy. These are the outies, they're the outie, like this is a separate group. And now, everybody's an innie. What happened to the outies? Where'd they go? I haven't seen an outie since I was like 7 years old. What happened?
But what happened to the person you saw at last?
I can't remember any specific outie.
So I know we've never like talked about Trump or politics or whatever, but I just had like a very quick thought, and it's not really even deeply political. It was just, what if like all of this dude's like lying and, you know, defending himself and finding out if he can pardon himself, like all these things. What if they're not like the bumblings of someone who doesn't understand everything, or even what if they're not like an evil person? What if they're just one guy's like hijinks? Like, he's just trying to see how much he can get away with. Nothing will seriously happen. So, like, dude, that's why he's tried a little of everything, you know? It's not like he's been wrong in one thing. He's literally been wrong in, like, tens to hundreds of things. And what if he's just, like, having the time of his life? Like,
he's trying the wrong buffet.
You know what it is? It's The Apprentice 2.
What do you mean?
He's The Apprentice 2.
He's trying to find the next president.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who are the field of candidates?
I don't know. I guess I've never seen
The Apprentice. Can you, hang on, sorry. Can you fucking imagine if they had breaking news and Donald Trump walked out and in a totally different voice and a totally different like dress, he's just like, hey guys, you know, I'm Donald Trump. I'm not the person that you've known all these years. This has actually been one big game show. You know, thank you for being the biggest game show of all time. And then people start clapping.
Thanks, y'all.
Yeah, and he's just like, and we got a little announcement for you. You know, nothing's done without picking a winner. Ladies and gentlemen, the new president of the United States. And then, like, that was the show.
Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh. Oh, God. Oh.
I would lose my mind if this has been a game show of all game shows.
I think everybody would.
Yeah, man. Here's your sign.
Again, speaking of like political adjacent things, I found a real weird news story to kind of continue what I started last week. This one is much less gross. But less than a month into his new job, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer needed to keep his food and drink cold. He wanted a mini fridge.
Oh, dude, I read this.
I really like the way you read news articles.
He dispatched... Have you heard this, Mike?
No, I have not.
Okay. He dispatched a top aide to a nearby executive office building where junior research employees are crammed into a room, surviving on lean cuisine frozen lunches. Mr. Spicer wants your icebox, the aide said, according to people familiar with
pause,
the incident.
Pause.
Oh.
Mr. Spicer wants your icebox.
The aide said, according to people familiar with the incident, they refused to give it up. So.
Fuck off, Spicer.
Food fight.
So Mr. Spicer waited until sundown, after his young staffers had left, to take matters into his own hands. He was spotted by a fellow White House official lugging the icebox down the White House driveway after 8 p.m.
Absolutely surreal.
He waited until sundown.
Yeah, he needs to be under the cover of darkness. This is a man that makes, like, I don't know, 150 grand a year or something like that. Like, some crazy amount of money, and he can't Amazon a $75 mini fridge.
Not to mention, he is, like, the face of the... he represents the administration to the whole country.
Well, not anymore, but...
Didn't he just go, like, hide inside a real bush?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
yeah, that happened a while ago to avoid the press.
God, it sucks that he's leaving.
I'm telling you, if you change the framework to a house full of people trying to do hijinks, it all makes sense.
Oh yeah,
like, watch this. Hey, I'm gonna walk into that bush. What? No way. No, you're not. Yeah, no, I'm just gonna walk right in. They're gonna think, like, is he okay? Well, just watch. They're not even gonna do anything about it. They'll just talk about it, and, like, no one will, like, think that I'm not fit for this job. Watch this. Here we go. It's unreal.
This is the new season of The Real World. That's the house they live in.
Oh, damn. That's a nice house.
Real World White House. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's usually the case, except for, like, the token minorities that MTV puts in there.
Right.
You guys are taking all my real world spots.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're not sorry. Okay, Mike.
Yes.
So we both went to Jimmy John's relatively recently.
All the time.
And it turns out both of us had had the same, like, thought about, like, a true, like, what is going on here? Like, is there something wrong and no one's noticing except for me? And I'm going to tell you what my thought was, and I think it's the same that you had.
Okay.
Okay. Why the fuck are the tomatoes so cold?
Dude. Exactly.
Why are they so cold?
They're like frozen when you bite them.
I knew you would think the same thing.
It's ridiculous. Their tomatoes are fucking ridiculous.
It's the worst part. Like, it takes me out of the sandwich.
I have to ask for no tomatoes every time. They're so cold.
But I want tomatoes.
Like, I love tomatoes. I love regular normal tomatoes. These are freezing and they suck.
Could you ask them to heat up your tomatoes? Just put those puppies on the grill for a second.
Yeah. That's like you want Mike to ask to be, like, grabbed in the chest.
Give me a number 11 and, like, pinch this little nipple right here.
Oh, God.
Hot tomatoes, please.
Wait. Okay. Josh, have you ever noticed this or no?
I don't think so, but my sandwich of choice at Jimmy John's is their tuna. So don't get tomatoes on that. Get it with lettuce. Their lettuce is an appropriate temperature.
That sounds like a really exciting sandwich, man.
No, I mean, they have, like, lettuce and other things, I think. Maybe, I don't know. Tuna's on there. Tuna's a big part of that sandwich.
Mike, did you know Josh would be possibly the worst person in the world to talk to about this? Because I just learned that.
You know, lettuce, tuna, bread. Sounds pretty good.
Just riveting.
I don't know. So, I mean, I haven't been to a Jimmy John's since I left Seattle a couple of years ago, so I don't remember everything that was on it. I got whatever, like, I didn't adjust from the menu. I just got their, like, their totally tuna. Is that a thing? I don't know.
I don't know, man. Look.
It's totally tuna, yeah.
It's like somehow you made a bland sandwich even more bland by naming it that.
I have a instead of lightning round.
Oh.
Okay. We've never done this.
It's very
Is there any theme music? Can you let the theme music smooth? Wait, that's not. Come on, man. You know that's not. You know that doesn't fit here. We've also used that one.
I think we only have two songs.
There has to be a third one. Come on. Lightning round.
Okay,
that's
okay.
The theme music for lightning round from here on out. wait, for the folks who missed it, could you please, maestro? Okay.
All right. Repeat the sentence after me and fill in the blank. Jimmy John's. Subs so fast you'll...
Freak.
You gotta... No, dude, you gotta... You gotta... something instead of freak.
You're playing it wrong.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were playing, like, do you recognize this branding? Okay, do it again.
Jimmy John's, subs so fast, you'll...
I can't think of anything but freak. you'll be happy.
Jimmy John's, subs so fast, you'll be happy. Subs so fast, you really like them. They're really good.
Doesn't that sound nice?
I'm glad you said that because mine, the very first thing that came into my head was park your car, which is like not even relevant in the slightest.
Subs so fast, you'll park your car. What? Why?
I don't know.
Because you're speeding.
Because they trace down anything that's a moving object.
No, if you want my actual train of thought, it's that I first thought of the word fart, and then I didn't want to, like, keep going in that direction, so park almost rhymes with fart. And that's where I got it.
Whoa.
Oh, man.
Our brains work real different.
Yeah, that's not... Oh, boy.
Sub so fast you'll fart. Kind of funny. It's kind of funny.
Are we close to the end? Because I have something that'll probably take us a few minutes.
Wait, is that it? Lightning round is just one question?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Why don't you finish the lightning round, and then I think I have a way to end the show.
Should I think of another like sandwich-related theme song?
Wait, I'm sorry. You only had one question lightning round?
I only had one. Yeah. It was only one. Hold on.
Holy shit. Really? Dude, do you know what a lightning round is?
Let me look up what Quiznos' tagline
is. No. Don't do that. You're slowing down a lightning round. Dude, I've never seen this.
We talk about Quiznos in every episode.
This is historic. Holy shit, dude. You are turning the world on its head in terms of what a lightning round is. Do you see what you've done? I'm being honest. You are a revolutionary.
It's a geriatric round.
Wow. No, it's not, dude. It is the new lightning round. Mike has taken ownership of this term. No one will ever take it back. That was awesome.
Oh. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go me.
Crushed it. All right, but so you don't have any more lightning round questions then?
Well, I'm researching Quiznos. Their slogan is just eat up. So can you replace one of those words?
Park your car up.
Quiznos, eat up, please.
Eat down? Yeah, eat up.
Quiznos, look up. Uh-huh.
Dude, and then
a sandwich just falls into your hands.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be great.
They do the mobile payment because by the time you get close enough to see a sign, they can scan your phone's like mobile payment method and they know what you want and it just like drops down in your hand.
They just have a fleet of like Quiznos drones dropping sandwiches.
Sandwich after sandwich.
Exactly.
Quiznos. Look up.
Did you know that Quiznos was the innovator of toasting sandwiches?
No. Bullshit.
Come on, man. What are you saying?
The company's first major advertising push was a successful advertising campaign during the 2002 Super Bowl. Early TV spots advertised the innovation of toasting sandwiches.
Okay.
As compared to the inventor of pants.
2002?
Josh feels passionate about this.
No, like, all of us have toasted sandwiches before 2002.
Hey, whoever has the closest access to a computer or search thing, can you please see when the George Foreman grill was invented?
Yeah. Hold on.
Thank you.
I have to type one-handed because I'm holding the mic this time.
George Foreman grill.
Wait, you're racing each other?
Yeah.
Yes, apparently.
Go Go, go. Whoever gets this right, I will give like a little bit of respect to.
1994.
Okay. Well, there it is. Quiznos a liar.
Yeah, Quiznos. Wow. Not even close.
Hey, did Mike just win one-handed?
I'm one-handed as well.
Oh, yeah. This seems like a convenient fact to come up now, when, unless instead of when it was relevant. Like, I'm one-handed too.
I just have George Foreman on like a hotkey, though, so that's cheating.
Nice. See, a hotkey. He made a joke. Did either of you see Dunkirk this weekend?
I did earlier today.
I did not.
Okay, Mike, you haven't seen Dunkirk, right?
No.
So you will have to just gain from the context between what Josh and I talk about, what I mean for this question. Mm-hmm. Okay, Smoove. So that was, would you say like one of the more, if not one of the most intense films you've ever seen?
Yeah, I got a lot of feelings of like gravity from it.
Yeah, but like with way more sound factoring in.
Oh, yeah. No, that...
Like just a... Like crazy sound effects, is a really well made film, but like it's kind of like difficult to watch it. Would you agree?
Yes.
Like it's like a never, Mike, it's a never ending stress. They literally have a clock ticking almost the entire movie.
Like you see the clock?
You don't see it, you hear it though.
Why would you see the clock, man?
I don't know. It seems like a bad.
You think they have a little clock off to the side of every scene, like in your Windows 2010 experience? No, there's no clock. There's no digital clock in Dunkirk.
Right, but you hear, you have a clock sense. Okay.
Yeah, ticking is part of the soundtrack, and it gets faster. And
it's like meant to get in your head.
It sounds very intense.
The whole thing is super, super stressful. And I saw this movie with my brother on Friday, or on Saturday, I can't remember. You know, it kind of affected him in the same way. He's just like, damn, like that was really intense. And so I asked him a question. I'm going to ask it to you guys. You know, it was obviously difficult for him to watch, so I asked him, and I like to keep my numbers sane. I know people go crazy, but okay, so I came up with the Dunkirk bet. This is what I'm saying. So it's called the Dunkirk bet. Effectively, anything that would be a torture for money-based bet is henceforth called the Dunkirk bet.
Okay.
So I asked him, if I gave you $2,000 a year, so like an amount that makes a little bit of difference, like it's not insignificant, to watch Dunkirk once a week, would you do it? So I'm asking the man to watch a film a week, the same film granted, but I'm asking him to do it once a week for $2,000. And he had, and even before I could finish the question, instant no. He's like, never. I would never do that. It's like it would actually be like torture by like the fourth and fifth viewing. Like it would start to mess with my brain about like, what am I watching? What is real? Like, is this like just all these thoughts would go through your head? And he gave me an immediate no. Would either of you two do it?
I don't think so. And I'm not. I think I could do it from the movie perspective. I just don't know that that's enough money for it.
Yeah, you need.
But you watch like six movies a week. Just one of them, like from here on out, has to be Dunkirk. You'll get paid to watch a movie.
Yeah, I guess. That's still like, what? It's a 2-hour movie.
No, I did the math. I think it comes out to like $38.
$38 an hour?
$38 a viewing, I think.
Yeah, I don't think. I feel like watching it that much would also ruin the movie.
Yeah, you would hate the movie.
I think you would hate a lot more. I think by viewing 52, your brain is now a different brain than when you started the Dunkirk bet.
So here's what I'm thinking. I think I could do it because like every night up until Netflix took Psych off Netflix, I watched Psych every single night for like 7 years when I went to bed.
Wow.
So I think...
You watch Psych? Dude... Are we even friends? Like, I don't know anything about you.
I've seen every episode of Psych at least 10 times.
10 times?
I've watched a show, like, I downloaded torrents of all the Psych seasons in, what, 2008? And that was 9 years ago. And I watched basically until they took it off Netflix every single day.
I have a request. Mm-hmm. When the Psych movie comes out, can I go see it with you? And I will have seen zero episodes of Psych.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I would love that. You want to come?
Yeah, I want to know how different our experiences and our like evaluations of the movie.
I'm a little scared to like expose myself in this way to you.
No, listen, it's just going to be a blind test. You and I have a similar like taste in movies. It's a fair like a generally fair scientific experiment.
Yeah.
I think we should do this.
Yeah, I'm a little worried. I'm a little concerned.
Okay, so it sounds like you guys could do it, but what my real incentive was to close the show is, what do you think, like, what innocuous thing, maybe PG-13, but PG and under, do you think we could replace for the Dunkirk bet that would also, like, make you go insane? Oh, cool. We're not going to talk.
Thinking, man. You ask a deep question. You can't expect me to just have an answer at the ready.
For me, it's got to be turning something I love against me.
Why?
If it's going to be truly tortuous.
Okay, so what if it... What would do that? What would it be?
I think it would be... Let me close my eyes and...
What's your favorite book, Mike?
Oh, my God. I'm going to say my favorite book is The Blind Assassin by Margaret Atwood.
All right, could you read that every week for 52 weeks?
No, I don't think I would. I don't think I could. I think that would ruin a piece of art that is so meaningful to me that I would rather be dead. No.
Dude, those weren't the stakes. You could just say no. No. You don't have to kill yourself. Damn. It was only like a win-win situation.
I would rather... What's my other option?
Just nothing. You live your life.
Okay. Yeah, I would rather not do that.
Damn.
Yeah, no, that would kill me. That would suck. That would suck. I would be sad.
All right, Smooth. Take us out, man. Tell me your instead of.
It would be watching some movie that I love.
That's the premise of the question. So we're back to that part.
No, you know what? Okay, no, I'll take it in my direction a little bit here.
Wow, dude, he just repeated my question to him slower. Sorry, I'm really ragging on Smoove today. I'm sorry, buddy.
It's okay. It's okay. We'll take this in the direction that we did a couple episodes ago. Video games, as you know.
What if instead of the movie?
Yeah, it was a video game. So I'm trying to think about something about the same length. So the game Portal is about that length.
You would lose your mind if you played Portal every week.
It is a fantastic game. It's very well made. It is, you know, up there in, you know, my list of favorite games of all time. But
can you explain it in one sentence to people who haven't played it?
It is a puzzle game in which you get a gun that can shoot portals and you try and escape this facility.
All right.
That was a good answer.
Good explanation. Okay. So if you played it once every week, you think you'd go nuts?
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
You wouldn't know. Yeah. Having played a lot of Portal, you start to think of like the dimensions of reality differently.
Yeah. And that's like, there are other games that I could list around here, but yeah.
So then there's only one question left.
Okay.
Would you do it for $5,000 in 1 year?
No.
I would.
Look, I can't take my budget too far. I gotta stay realistic.
Dude, I will take $5,000 from you to play Portal every week.
Okay, no. Wait, for real?
Yeah.
Wait, for you to play it or for me to play it?
No, not you. Smooth, you're out. He took the bet. You lost your chance, dude. You lost your chance for $5,000. He saw a good idea, and he just went for it. Okay, Mike, check it out.
Yeah.
If we ever... and I don't think this is going to happen, so that's why I'm so comfortable saying this. If we ever get Quiznos to sponsor us and like pay us money...
Never say never.
The first 5,000 of those dollars will go to funding this bet.
Deal.
Why don't I get a say in this? Isn't like one-third of that $5,000 mine?
You said your part. You came up with the idea. You said your part.
It was entirely his idea.
Got it. Okay, Mike, is that a deal?
Oh, hell yeah. I love Portal.
All right, we're on. Quiznos, listen, you know, if you want to make this happen, I think people would enjoy hearing about like Mike's, like honestly, week by week, like psychosis. I think it would be very cool.
Oh yeah, I can make it like kind of a Twin Peaksy web series. Yeah,
like he will actually degenerate, folks. Like it's going to be worth watching. You're going to see a guy really lose his facilities, and all he did it all for $5,500. Like that's amazing, you know. People pay less to do more, I guess, is a good way for me to say how I feel about the valuation. But it just let's make it happen, I guess. I don't really even want any sandwiches. Like that's cool, you know. You guys can.
I do. How much free Quiznos do I get?
Mike, the answer to that question is you just have to look up.
Are we sure? Oh.
A piece of paper just fell into your hands, and it says 14. One a month plus two special months for your birthday and the birthday of your friend. That's a fair price. I'm only doing fair prices today.
All right. You know what? Deal.
Deal. It is in Quiznos. Please reach out. You know, I want to see him go nuts.
Do you do? We're friends.
I thought we were until I listened to this episode of Instead Of.
And now you hope I...
I don't hope you die. Don't say die. You won't die. You just go a little crazy.
Yeah. Worth it.
Oh, man. You know what? I bet it would have been the worst if you had to listen to that song, Does That Make Me Crazy, for 2 hours every week.
The Gnarls Barkley song?
Yeah, I would probably go crazy after week one. 2 hours of that? Holy smokes.
Oh, no. No, no. No. Three in a row is enough.
It sounds like you're speaking from experience.
I've heard that song more than three times in a row.
Why? He just thought it was in an infinite loop with the, I remember when, I remember when, I remember when, and it just kept going.
Yeah, I get stuck in perfect loops. No, I have, I like, when I really like a song, I just listen to it until I hate it.
So, are you fucking telling me that you came up with the Dunkirk bet already?
I mean, yeah.
Oh, God damn it. I had one thing going for me this week, man.
Can I tell you guys something about the George Foreman grill?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Wait, where was it? Fuck. Okay. He goes, oh fuck. No, shit.
Pull yourself together.
What are you looking at? Are you looking at like a piece of paper in the wind? Like, how are you losing sight of it? It's a computer screen. It doesn't move, dude, unless you move it.
Can we edit this part out?
No, of course not.
Oh, I forgot how to read. Oh.
This is going to be the best $5,500 I have had someone else spend for me.
I feel so much pressure. No.
Yeah, you're going to lose it,
okay,
bro.
Okay, I found it. Okay. The grill is offered in various sizes for cooking individual or multiple servings. In 2006, the George Foreman Next Grilleration Health Grill was launched, which features detachable grilling plates for easier cleaning. How does that help? How is that a health grill?
Here, take these off. It's lighter.
How does that make it a health grill?
That's going to be easier on your back if you ever need to move it. Health grill, right there.
Did you know that they marketed it that it knocks out the fat?
I did know that.
You did?
Yeah, because he's a boxer.
He is a famous boxer.
Do you think one of his nemeses was named the Fat? Like that was the boxer's nickname. Like, here comes Edwin the Fat Mosley. Boo!
Wait! I gotta speaking of other competition. The success of the George Foreman grill spawned a variety of similar celebrity endorsed products, such as the Evander Holyfield Real Deal Grill, for which he started.
Wait! Another boxer got into the same business?
The Evander Holyfield Real Deal Grill.
Wow.
The Carl Lewis Health Grill.
No, come on.
And the Jackie Chan just grill. The Jackie Chan grill.
Did you say Jackie Chan?
It's just a Jackie Chan grill, yeah.
Wasn't everyone else like an athlete before that?
Carl Lewis, Evander Holyfield, George Foreman, and Jackie Chan.
This would be a really fun summer movie.
Okay, wait, hang on. I'm reading along with you because this is just on the Wikipedia page for the George Foreman grill.
Oh, you mean the Wikipedia page that's constantly scrolling by itself because it's possessed?
In the VH1 show, Hogan Knows Best, Hulk Hogan claimed that he was offered the contract for the grill first, but missed his agent's phone call because he was, quote, picking up the kids and thus missed out on the endorsements.
Holy hell.
Instead, he endorsed a Hulk Hogan blender and later the Hulk Hogan Ultimate Grill. So he got into the grill business anyway. We'll have a new episode next Wednesday. If you want to find us on the web, we're at insteadof.fm. We'd love it if you subscribed and rated us on Apple Podcasts. See you next week. So when I was in Vegas, we did a little bit of shopping. And just to give you the juxtaposition of my marriage, my wife bought some nice underwear from Victoria's Secret. I bought a foam hot dog magnet.
A foam hot dog what?
Magnet. Stick it on your fridge.
Oh my god, I thought you said necktie. It's so much better.
How could you even tie a foam tie?
I don't know, it sounds terrible.
Guys, are we not going to take a second to just feel really bad for Josh's wife?
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is an unfair trade. I know Josh's wife. She's great. Like,
yeah.
Class it up, man.
I like it.
That's just the worst. Oh, no. What'd you do? Did you put it on the fridge?
So I'll cut it there. The real thing is that whenever I travel, I get like a dumb tourist magnet for a friend of mine. It's just been like a running thing that I've done for a few years since I travel a decent amount.
Why would you not put that in the story, dude? It like justifies your stupid behavior.
Because
what, like, I don't understand. I'm not throwing you under the bus like that, man. You get up here. I got you covered. I got you covered. You come stand next to me. You know, don't worry, buddy. I got you.
We've talked about this, that like...
No, you don't need to be embarrassed about yourself. You know, you're a good man. You're a good man, buddy. You know? I would take you to anywhere you wanted to go. I trust you that much. Like, you're a good man.
Would you trust him to buy you a souvenir?
No, dude. He'd buy me a stupid fucking foam hot dog.